Exodus 30. Most of the messages I've been preaching has been centered on 2019, the year of restoration. And today I want to preach on a restored anointing or a fresh anointing. Anointing. What is the anointing? It's first mentioned in Exodus chapter 30. And verse 22 is where I'm going to start. Exodus 30, verse 22. It says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and the base. Verse 29, you shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people." So God, he's speaking here of the holy anointing oil. The oil that would be used in the tabernacle. If you notice, he's given the ingredients. He's given the composition. He's telling us about how to properly apply the anointing. The anointing oil. What does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. Whenever you see oil in the Old Testament or Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, it refers to the Holy Spirit. The oil always represents the Holy Spirit. And in your notes, first off, the word anoint. The word anoint. So the oil is the Holy Spirit, but what is the anointing? What does it mean to anoint? Well, to anoint simply means to smear, to rub on. That's what the word anoint. So in this old, it's a picture, it's an old covenant picture of being smeared. Or, as we say in the New Testament, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happening here. The articles of the tabernacle thousands of years before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit would fall, the articles of the tabernacle were to be smeared with the anointing oil. We saw the altar, the table, the utensils, the laver, the base, the ark of the covenant were to be smeared with oil. But most importantly, we saw that Aaron and his sons were to be smeared, anointed with the oil. Aaron was the first priest in the tabernacle. And what God's saying here is that to the priest and also the kings were anointed. The prophets were anointed. The prophet, priest, and king, they were anointed. But what God is saying is that before you can minister to me, before you can lead my people, you need to be anointed, filled, covered in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Covered, smeared with oil. I enjoy using the New King James Version. I think it's an accurate translation, but there's words in there sometimes that we don't understand because it said there, take a hin of oil. You're thinking a hen, not a rooster, a hen of oil. Okay, I'm bombing this morning, but that's okay because you don't know what a hen is. Let me tell you what a hen is. A hen is about 6 quarts of oil, Okay, so he said, take about 6 quarts of oil. Some translations say take a gallon of oil, but actually it's closer to add 2 quarts. And you can get the picture here because when they anointed the priest with oil, they didn't just take a little dot, you know, a little dot on their head. They would take 6 quarts of oil, these ingredients, they would dump them on your head. It would dump, I mean, a gallon and a half of the oil on your head, and they had the beards, and it would run down the beards, and it would drench the clothes, and it would run to the floor. Psalms 133 verse 2 speaks of the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, drenched his clothes, ran down to the floor. Psalms 23, you know the shepherd psalm, but in Psalm 23 verse 5, no wonder David said, he said, "You anoint my head with oil," and then he says, "My cup's running over." My cups, he's referring to the anointing oil that we'll talk about in just a second, where he would be anointed with the oil and it would run down and his cup was running over. It was an overflow anointing. And what I'm saying, here's the good news for us, because in the New Testament, under this new covenant, those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a holy priesthood. And that the same anointing that was poured out on the priests of old under this new covenant, since in Christ we can have that same anointing poured out upon us. Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and he quotes the prophet Joel 2:28, and he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit, my anointing oil. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And I'm just preaching this today because I want you to see that the same anointing that was poured out on the prophets and the priests and the king, and the same anointing that was poured out in the upper room on these New Testament, that same anointing is available to be poured upon you today. You anoint my head. I want that. You anoint my head with oil. My cup's running over. Don't you want an overflow? Don't you want your cup to run over this morning? That's why I'm praying, because we need a restored anointing. It's the anointing is what makes a difference in our life. That the churches of our land need a restored anointing, don't they? We need a restored anointing. See, you can have just a church service, or you can have an anointed church service. You can just do ministry and do and keep doing, or you can have anointed ministry. You can be singing, or you can have anointed singing. You preaching, I can just be spitting out some words, or I can have anointing when I preach. I want the anointing on the anointing is what makes the difference. The anointing is what causes the child of God to do extraordinary things that you never thought that you could do. The anointing, it's not just for the preacher and the teachers and the singer. You know, the anointing we want the anointing in the sanctuary, but you can carry the anointing to your job. You can carry the anointing to the marketplace. It's the anointing that gives you wisdom, that gives you creativity, that gives ingenuity and creative ideas. Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says, "I want you to have the spirit of wisdom." See, the Spirit gives wisdom. We need wisdom. You can have wisdom on your job. You can have wisdom when you're out making the sale. You can excel to the top with the anointing. I want to go to the top, even on the marketplace, right? I like to win. Don't you like to win? The anointing makes you a winner. 1 John 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And then he says, and you know all things. Now, of course, he's not saying we become like God. We become all-knowing. But what he's saying is that as a child of God, the anointing that resides upon you gives you discernment, gives you wisdom, gives you revelation of the truth, of the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I need the anointing when I get into God's Word so I can rightly divide the Word of truth. You say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You get the anointing, that Bible's going to come alive to you. That's what happened in my world. I learned more from the anointing than I did from college professors. The anointing. He says that, and I like to turn it around when it says you, but you have, I like to make that a personal pronoun. But I have an anointing from the Holy One. Say that. Say, I have an anointing from the Holy One. I can know the truth. I can know the things of God. Psalms 92, verse 10 says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Actually, the first part says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. What in the world does that mean? That means that he renews your strength. He's giving you strength. He's making you strong. But he says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. That's what I'm preaching. Fresh oil. Say that. Say, I have been anointed. Come on. If you want that anointing, with fresh oil. With fresh oil. The key to seeing a difference in your life, the key is to receive the fresh oil. The fresh anointing. As a father of an older daughter who's an adult and has an apartment and works and on their own and but lives several hundred miles away, fathers, you might the biggest thing that I'm on her about is changing the oil in her car. Any dads on the you got to change, because they'll drive forever, man. They don't think about that. They just drive and drive. I'm like, you got to rotate the tires. You got to check the tire pressure. I mean, it'd be bald, you know. I mean, there's no tread, and you got to change the oil. Have you changed the oil? You got to, you know, just religious, because you got to have fresh oil in the car. They'll drive to where the oil, it's like you can't even pour it, or there's no oil. See, the oil is what makes the pistons work and what makes the motor work properly, right? Got to get the oil change. And maybe there's some people in here today or watching that needs an oil change. You're operating on stale oil. Old oil. It's getting clumpy. It's the motor. You don't have that zeal, that lubrication like you used to have. Now you know Jesus. You've trusted in Jesus. There was a time when you even said, "Lord, fill me, baptize me in your Spirit." But that was then, and this is now. See, when you receive Jesus, that's eternal. You're secure in Christ. You can't just lose your salvation, but you can lose your anointing. Uh-huh. You can. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, he says, be ever filled, because we need to be refilled. We need an oil change every day of our life. It's a fresh filling every day. And maybe you've lost the passion. Maybe you're just going through the motions. You don't get anything out of God's Word. You don't have the fire. You don't have the passion. Well, if that's you, today's the day. Today's the day that you can be anointed with fresh oil. I want an oil change today. I just want to get rid of the oil. I want to go to the Jesus is the Jiffy Lube we need right today. That's right. Fresh. You have anointed me with fresh oil. I've got three characteristics that I'm going to give you about the fresh oil. In verse 25, it says, God, he says, I want you to make an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. Perfumer. He's likening it to a perfume. The ingredients were ingredients that were placed in the perfume. He says, you're going to put these spices. You're going to put myrrh. You're going to put cinnamon. You're going to put cane. You're going to put cassia in this oil. And it's going to produce a smell, a fragrance. When they anointed the man of God, there was a fresh fragrance, a sweet smell that came from it. Number one, your first point, the fresh oil produces a fresh fragrance. Fresh fragrance. One thing that I noticed when I was in Israel a couple weeks ago, we stayed in three different hotels. Every place that we went into smelt the same. It was a smell, I can't describe it, but it had to be these different ingredients. It was a spicy, sweet, cinnamony, myrrh fragrance. Because they're still using these same ingredients in the perfumes. I mean, they smell the same. Everything's the same, but they were doing it according to the ingredients. And the way that we can apply this is that when you get the anointing, you smell different. There's a sweet fragrance. People can sense a sweetness on your life. You're not walking around grumpy, bitterness. You're not bitter, you're sweet. The fragrance, people can tell you've been with Jesus. People can tell you've got a relationship with them. That's like when Peter was speaking in the book of Acts and Peter and John, it said that the council could tell that they've been with Jesus. It's because they had the anointing on them. The fresh fragrance was upon their life. Listen to this verse, Psalms 45, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Joy. I'm not bitter, I'm sweet. It's the oil of gladness more than your companions, more than those around you. Then it says in verse 8, all your garments are scented with myrrh, with aloes, with cassia. See, that's the fresh fragrance that comes with the anointing. It's the fragrance of joy. It's the fragrance of gladness. You know, I can just sense that. I just see the picture in my mind when they're dumping the oil on Aaron or the priest, and he's got his garments on and they're soaked with oil and they're run. I mean, he's a soaking. It's not just, you're not just waterlogged, you're oil logged. I mean, it's like when you're cooking and you get oil on your hands and it's like you can't get this stuff off. But I can see whether he takes his garment off. I don't know the proper protocol, but the fact of the matter is that guy is soaked with oil. The smell of that oil is going to stay on that guy. He's leaving the tabernacle from doing, he's leaving the job. He's walking, even if he changed his garments. And he's still leaving a scent behind him. He might have worn his same sandals or whatever. I don't know. He's leaving footprints behind. But I just picture he's heading home from the day. He's going by the tents of the people. They dwelt in tents. And as he's walking by, the families are inside. And the kids are like, you smell that? Mom, Dad, what's that smell outside? The mom and dad's like, that's the anointed man of God passing by. See, the anoint, we can smell him before we can see him. There's a presence. The atmosphere changes. Don't you want that anointing on you? You don't have to go out and scream out, you're going to hell, you dirty, filthy. You just get around people and the love of God's all around you. And somebody says, give me some of that. I want what you got. That's the anointing I'm talking about. The fresh fragrance that flows from the anointing. My second point is from verse 30, it says, he said, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons. And he says, you shall consecrate them. Consecrate. Consecrate is a word to set apart, to dedicate. We're dedicating him. Another word that we use, a theological word that we use, is sanctify. For all the Pentecostals, I sanctified. But that's what it sanctify means, to be set apart. My second point, the fresh oil is for the set apart, the sanctified. We're going to bring back that word this morning. That word's been lost in the churches today. Set apart, sanctified. When you were anointed with the oil, you were set apart for this one's for God. Another verse that speaks to this, in verse 32, he says, it shall not be poured out on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be a holy anointing to you. He's saying you can't pour this, you can't pour the anointing on man's sinful flesh. This might help you understand a little bit more, because the reason we can't pour the anointing on sinful flesh is because we got to be consecrated. We got to be set apart for the Lord. Romans 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The old fleshly nature, the old sinful desires. That's what he means, the flesh. He says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So then those who are in the flesh, operating in the flesh and our old man, our old sinful ways, says you cannot please God. In other words, he's saying that the anointing can't come upon those who are living in the flesh, who have their minds set on the things of this world, set on the things of the flesh. He said the anointing can only come upon those who live according to the Spirit, who set their minds on the things above. And I guess what I'm just saying is that if we really want this anointing, we've got to be set apart from the flesh, from the world. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Christianity involves discipline. I'm not talking about salvation by works. I'm not talking about that. And you know, I'm a preacher of God's grace. But the fact of the matter is, when you really get a hold of God's amazing grace, when you really, we sing about His goodness and about His love, it's not just His goodness so we can just keep on doing any old thing. We receive, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. When we really get a hold of God's grace, we want to be disciplined in our walk, in our talk. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to say this. We live separately from, what's wrong with preaching like this? Because the last time I checked, God, it still says it's the holy anointing oil. The Bible, we set apart. Romans 12, 1 says, I beg of you, present yourselves a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, which is by reasonable act of worship. It's not just lip service. I'm setting myself apart. I'm saying no. I'm not going with the flow. That's the problem in a lot of church. We're just going with the flow just to try to get people in. No, we still serve a holy God. I know we're not going to reach perfection. I'm not talking about getting into law. I'm talking about, God, if there's anything in me, I want you to purge me, because I want the anointing on my life, and I hope you do too. What would happen if we would become set apart, sanctified, and let's just go old school, Holy Ghost filled? That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need, a restored anointing. God told Samuel, he said, go to Jesse's house. Jesse was the father of David. Go to Bethlehem, take some oil. And I want you to go to his house and say, one of your sons, I'm going to set apart and consecrate and dedicate, and he's going to become king. So Jesse or Samuel goes to Jesse's house. The whole time I was studying this, I was thinking, Jesse's girl. Not Jesse's girl, the 80s song. Jesse's son, Jesse's boy, okay? So Jesse brings out Eliab. Eliab is the firstborn. He's the oldest. He's the best warrior. He's the tallest. He looks good. Samuel's like, this is the guy. This is the guy right here. Surely, God, you want me to anoint this guy. But you know, God said, He says, I've rejected him. That's what he says. I've rejected. It's where, and then he says, it's where we get the verse from verse 7 that says, man looks on the outward appearance. See, Samuel was looking on the outward appearance, but then he says, God looks on the heart. So he goes through every, bring me another son. God says, no, nope. Bring another one, and another one, and a no, no. And they get to the end of the sons. And Samuel's like, do you have any other sons? This is it. God says, no. He said, well, I've got another one. He's out in the field. He's watching the sheep. You probably don't want anything to do with him. He's just a young kid. He's not qualified. But Samuel says, well, bring him in. See, yeah, David was the youngest. He was the least qualified, But he was doing so much more out in the fields than just watching sheep. He was writing psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. He was praying in those fields. He was praising. He was worshiping. What he was doing in those fields, he was dedicating himself to the Lord. He was setting himself apart, consecrating himself to the Lord. And it said that when David walked in, God told Samuel, arise and anoint him. He's the one. He's the one. And he says in verse 13, he says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And I love this. From that day forward. We know that David fell into sin. He tripped. He fell. But the anointing didn't leave him. Because even though he fell, he arose. God have mercy upon me. See, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking. Yeah, we're going to trip up. We're going to mess up. But God's attracted to the heart. David always kept that heart towards God. I know I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I receive. Forgive me, God. And he said, from that day forward. And if you read a couple chapters over, you're going to find out that that anointing that Samuel placed upon him, that's the anointing that when David would face Goliath, that anointing would cause him to take down the enemy. That same anointing that came upon David from this day forward, that same anointing is what would keep David alive when Saul was chasing after him and trying to kill him and he was running through the caves of En-Gedi. And it's that same anointing that was on David that would rise, that would propel him to be a king and be the greatest king and the greatest warrior in Israel's history. And if you get anything out of this message, and I don't even know what else to say, I'm just trying to stir you up for the anointing. That's what I'm trying to do. If you want to live this life of power, this life of victory, this life of zeal, and you can't do it without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to be said of me. The anointing from this day forward. Do you know that from this day forward, you can get God to dump the oil on your head, and you can keep that anointing from this day forward if you stay set apart, if you stay surrendered to Him. I got one last point that I'm going to give you. Verse 32. Let me throw this in. Samuel anointed David in the midst of his brothers. That's what it says. In regards to being set apart, the anointing that was placed upon, it was a witness to those around him that this is the man I've chosen. And that's what the anointing does for us. It's a witness of the Holy Spirit that we are set apart and we are consecrated to God. So I just wanted to throw that in. My third point is found in verse 32. God says, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. And I've read this before and I've always overlooked this. Don't make any other like it. This is read over. This is read over type verses. Somebody said to me, I was on the plane flying back from Israel, and this young Jewish couple was sitting beside me. They live in New York. A bright young guy and gal. So he started talking, said, who are you with? Where are you from? Blah, blah. So I was sharing. So we got to talk. I mean, he was an Orthodox practicing Jewish man. And he said, so what do you think about the Old Testament? See, a lot of times, we've gotten into this before, but see, there's a lot of teaching out there that's disregarding the Old Testament. This replacement theology that we don't need that anymore. That if you ever hear teaching like that, I mean, and I can name some famous people you would know that's starting to teach that. I've turned off a lot of the preaching, I'll tell you that. My eyes were open. I said, you know what I think of the Old Testament? I think just as highly as the Old Testament as the New Testament. It's just one book. It's one book. And I was able to share with him. I said to the Christian, we believe that the Old Testament presents Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus, our Messiah, revealed. And I said, take for instance Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And this is a whole nother sermon. But I was just showing him Jesus in the Old Testament. I don't know if he changed, but you could see the wheels were spinning. But I'm just saying, you take these Old Testament passages. A lot of people look over this stuff. Because God, he says, nor shall you make any other like it. Here's what he's saying. Don't change the ingredients. Don't ever change the ingredients. Don't change what goes in. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. I want you to make it forever and ever. You make it and you keep it the way I tell you to. And here's my point, and I'll explain it. My third point is the fresh oil can have no substitutes. Don't you substitute anything for the fresh anointing oil. Here's how I'm closing. And here's a charge to us so we can all hold each other accountable in this, because we're in this together. And I'm preaching this because I'm just grieved that substitutes for the anointing have crept into the church. That's what I'm getting at. Substitutes. A lot of churches today, they've either added more ingredients and they've gone crazy, or they've taken the ingredients out and they've just denied everything, and the ingredients. God says, I want you to stick to the original ingredients. I don't want to be a church that quits preaching against sin. I don't want to be a church that quits preaching and watering down the word that says you don't need to live set apart. It's all good, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be a church that stops preaching about the power and anointing of God. You know, it's still the blood of Jesus, isn't it? It's still about the cross and the empty tomb. It's still the holy anointing. You're not going to hear me preach this social prosperity gospel that's all about feel good. We don't need that mess in the church. We need the original ingredients. God, don't you change it. Don't you change that. Because this, the original ingredients is what gives us that anointing and that passion. And the power and the fire for God. And that's what we need today. Today. As for me in my house, I want you to believe that I'm not gonna put any substitutes in. You call me old fashioned, call me old school, but this same anointing that worked 2,000 years ago, it still works today if we keep it the same and stay right on line with the Word of God. My question in closing, do you need a fresh anointing? Fresh anointing. Maybe you've Maybe you've operating on stale oil. You're going through the motions. You're veering. You just don't have that zeal. You don't have that passion. You don't want to get involved in ministry. You don't want to do anything. You need the fresh anointing. Maybe you need to recommit, resurrender your life to God. He'll anoint you today. He'll anoint you today. From this day, I don't know how you walked in, but you can walk out with the anointing of God on your life if you believe this and if you receive this. And I want to ask you to bow your heads if you would. Just ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Do you need that oil change? Do you need the fresh oil? Maybe you're watching or you're here today and maybe you've never even received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to get the whole point. All of this is by grace through faith. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't earn the anointing. It's all an act by grace through faith. But if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, right where you're seated, you can receive Him today. It does involve turning. It does involve asking Him to forgive you of your sins. It does involve that. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up my cross and follow me. There is a cost. The cost is you've got to give Him your life. The cost is you got to take up the cross. But the rewards, so they outweigh the cost, because you have joy. You receive peace. You receive everlasting life. You receive hope. And if you ask Jesus to save you, and you mean that from your heart, He'll save you this morning. And He'll write your name in the book of life, never to pluck it out. You can receive Jesus. Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe You died for me and shed Your blood for me. Save me. And maybe if you're seated, we're going to sing a song in just a minute, but maybe if you're seated here today and you need a fresh anointing, maybe you just need to just humble yourself before God at the altar. You notice that David said he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. See, the anointing comes upon those that aren't ashamed to humble themselves in the midst of their brothers. I'm not ashamed of Jesus in the midst of my brothers. Maybe you need to get on your knees and recommit your life to Christ. I've got oil down here. I'll pray over you and anoint you with oil. But you got to receive it. So Father, in Jesus' name, as we end our service today, Holy Spirit, would You minister to our hearts? May we not leave until we've done business with You and given ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.